Now back to Talkin' Baseball with Marty Lurie, Bill Lasky, and Carey Crowley. Live from Scottsdale Stadium on your home of Giants baseball. KNBR 104.5 at 680, the sports leader.
Welcome back to Scottsdale. Carey Crowley here talking baseball with Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. Giants and the Royals coming up at 12:05 Pacific, 105 down here in the desert. And I'm pleased to be joined now by the leadoff spot host, KNBR's very own Adam Copeland, and my co-host on the Copes and Crowley podcast right here on KNBR. You can catch it every weekend before talking baseball. Copes, what's up? How are you?
Carey, long time no talk, bro. How's it going, man?
It's going well. I want to jump right in here because we're short on time today and ask you, Jake Odorizzi signs with the Houston Astros. Jackie Bradley Jr. signs with the Milwaukee Brewers. The top two big-name free agents are off the market here in March. Did the Giants make a mistake not getting either of these two guys?
The Jackie Bradley Jr. one doesn't bother me as much. I think you could probably find the kind of outlet that the Brewers got from Jackie Bradley Jr. or are going to get from Jackie Bradley Jr. And I think the Giants are hoping they're going to get that from Lamont Wade, right? I think that's why they made that deal, that they could have a left-handed defensive asset maybe, and maybe a guy with some pop who could hit in the middle of the lineup or near the bottom of the lineup. But I think Lamont Wade is probably the hope there. The Jake Odorizzi one is interesting. Like, sort of feel like that guy's a frontline starter who could help a team, and he's maybe a guy who maybe even ends up getting moved at some point later this season, and who knows what kind of help the Astros are going to need without Justin Verlander because of the Tommy John surgery for him. He's likely to be out for all of this season, I think, right, is what we're looking for with him. So, I don't know that they swung and missed or that they even made an opportunity or like a go at any of these guys or if they totally missed the boat on it. I would have liked to see them go after Odorizzi, but the Giants so far haven't shown that that's the type of pitcher that they need, that they're willing to sort of grab a guy at a discount price rather than go after a frontline starter. And I think that's what they're looking for with Alex Wood and with Aaron Sanchez and DeSclafani this season.
Hey, Adam, the Giants did make a move on Friday night, signing three-time 20-home run hitter Justin Bour, but it's a minor league deal, no major league camp invite. Does this move the needle at all for you? Does the name Justin Bour still register to you as someone who could potentially help the Giants?
Not so much. It was a weird, sort of a weird, I don't know. I thought it was an odd signing. I was like, yeah, this is a guy who I guess fits the mold as just a straight sort of power hitter. To me, I look at him as sort of the opposite of like Darren Ruff, maybe just straight power, would play strictly against right-handed pitching. And maybe this is more of a, I do sort of wonder, is this like an insurance policy here for if a guy like Brandon Belt isn't ready to go at the start of the year? We haven't been given tons of information about him other than he's just sort of bouncing back from a virus that they were reporting is not COVID-related. So yet to see him, but I don't know. I thought it was sort of an interesting move. He's a guy who just sort of plays one position outside of the designated hitter and playing first base. I'm not really sure where he would help the Giants, and the Giants sort of seem like they have a lot of guys who could play first base, right? You've got Buster Posey. You've got Wilmer Flores. You've got Darren Ruff. You've got Brandon Belt. So sort of an interesting move. I thought they also now have Tommy LaStella who can float over and play some first base. So I don't know. It doesn't do anything for me, Carey. I guess that's the long story short here. Doesn't do anything for me.
Totally fair assessment. Talking baseball with Adam Copeland, KNBR's host of the Leadoff Spot, my co-host on the Copes and Crowley podcast. You can hear in the KNBR podcasting app. And Copes, one of the things that I was thinking about this week is the way the Giants are constructing this roster. They've got so many veteran players who are kind of older on the latter side of their careers. Kazmir's in camp. Darren Ruff's doing damage to the plate at 34 years old. Johnny Cueto on the mound at 35. Does this feel at all to you like Farhan Zaidi has taken a page out of Brian Sabian's book in like the early 2000s, you know, when they had the outfield of Marquise Grissom, Barry Bonds, Michael Tucker, when they just, you know, piled up on the veteran guys who'd gotten the job done in the past and they think they're going to get the job done in the future? Do you see any similarities there?
As far as like the roster construction itself, I guess that's like a fair comp outside of like not having Barry Bonds standing in left field for 150 games. Like that's sort of a big difference there, maybe a gaping hole. I guess the difference here would be that Brian Sabian did that, and in doing so, he mortgaged the future a little bit with giving away prospects in order to bring in guys like Sidney Ponson to sort of put in a veteran presence around this team, right, to try to help them maybe get a championship for Jeff Cannon, for Barry Bonds, and for those veteran guys. It's a little different now because Farhan has brought in veteran guys and sort of stuck with veteran guys so that he doesn't have to mortgage the future, right? He's retained all these young prospects, and maybe at some point you sprinkle those into a trade, but he's basically used these assets, and they're one-off guys where, hey, if it didn't work, it didn't cost you anything but maybe a minor league contract or an invite to spring training. So I think it's a fair assessment to say, like, yeah, it mirrors those Brian Sabian teams outside of the Hall of Fame talent on them, and some of these players have that. I mean, obviously Buster Posey will be in that conversation, but I do think he's done so without mortgaging the future, and I think oftentimes Brian Sabian did mortgage the future until it was time to build from within, and we saw what happened, 3 world championships.
Gosh, Sidney Ponson, what a reference. No one remembers guys better than you, Copes. It made me think, do you have any favorite early 2000s trades or acquisitions where they picked up a guy at the deadline that just still stand out to you? And this is before the World Series era when they hit on Marco Scudero, Javier Lopez, Ramon Ramirez. Any guys that you just remember getting super psyched up about?
I mean, the Kenny Lofton one is the obvious one because he was just such a fun player to watch prior to 2002, right? Like, he was such a flashy player. The Giants needed a leadoff hitter, and they kind of struggled for a while without having a true leadoff hitter. I know they floated Marvin Bernard out there a lot. They tried to bring in Shinjo in 2002, but then finally getting Kenny Lofton, who was a defensive asset, and the dude to hit at the top of the lineup, that was a good one. Trying to think of some of the other ones that maybe really moved me. Obviously, the John Vanderwall and Armando Rios for Jason Schmidt ended up being a big one, but at the time it was kind of a nothing sort of trade, right? I think they moved Jason Vogelsong in that trade as well. So I don't know. Then there were times where Brian Sabian went out and did stuff like he added Ricky Wade to the 2003 team or the 2004 team. And I was like, is this really – how many teams are winning divisions because you went out and you added a pinch hitter? You know what I mean? So there were times where it wasn't all that great. There were other times where he moved smaller pieces. Guys like Jeremy Accardo gets moved, right? And I sort of thought he could have been a dude who pitched at the back end of the Giants bullpen for a long time and ultimately wasn't even a long-time big leaguer. So sometimes I think they did a pretty good job at assessing which young talent they could move. Obviously, a move like Tim Alderson for Freddie Sanchez, maybe the crown jewel of a trade that Brian Sabian could have made because he held on to Bumgarner and still was able to move a top prospect that ended up not being a huge asset at the big league level. So I don't know. Those are some of the ones that come to mind, I guess.
Yeah, the Kenny Lofton one's great. Home run in his first at-bat as a Giant back against the Phillies at Veterans Stadium and then scoring or driving in David Bell to clinch the 2002 NLCS. Good stuff, Copes. Before we let you go, I want to turn back our attention to the 2021 roster and talk about some of the early names who've kind of caught your eye in camp, maybe didn't think that they were going to be opening day roster candidates, but players who've stood out, maybe a Sam Long, Kervin Castro. Who's on your radar right now?
Well, we talked about this a little bit on the podcast. You've been plugging that pretty well so far this morning. Camilo Duvall, I think, is the one that's like really, really intriguing. You were joking that maybe he's got the best hair potential for anybody out of a Giants bullpen, but I look at this guy and it's like he's long, he's wiry, he's got movement. It looks like his fastball goes east to west at times or west to east, that two-seam movement in on the right-handed hitters. I thought the slider looked really good from him, the high velocity. I'm just really impressed with how much arm talent they have. And even from the left side, I mean, you mentioned Sam Long. That's a guy who you said that they're maybe thinking about stretching out. He's a kid from Northern California. Big velocity. He impressed in his bullpen the other day and then also was thrown in a couple of games. So it's really, for me, it's the bullpen arms because I think that's the biggest unknown right now for the Giants is which pieces are going to fill out this bullpen. For the most part, there's not a lot of open spots on the roster for offensive players. So I think we're really just kind of looking at which pieces can they identify here in camp that are going to be bullpen assets for the foreseeable future. And I think when you look at what the Dodgers have done and when you look at what the Padres have done and starting to stack arms, that's been a focal point. The Dodgers won that World Series and feels like they can go deep into the postseason every year because every time you turn around, they've got a huge arm they can put in, whether it's Gonsolin or Dustin May, or they went out and they added Corey Knebel this offseason. So I think you're able to do that if you can identify some young players in your own system. And I think Camilo Duvall, as you mentioned, Wolf is a good one, Sam Long. These are all guys we should be paying attention to. But Duvall's the one who I'm really excited about right now.
Adam Copeland, he can talk. Thank you so much for joining me here on Talking Baseball. Copes, really appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of your weekend. You're off Monday.
I'm off Monday. You enjoy the leadoff spot Monday, dude. Enjoy the games this weekend. Go Jay.
Will do. Up next, we've got Marty and Bruce Jenkins looking through the window of baseball. Can't miss it here on KMBR. Giants Royals coming up at the top of the hour from Scottsdale Stadium. I'm Kerry Crowley alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky here talking baseball. KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.